Curious. You would make an excellent Cephalon, Tenno.
Welcome to Cephalon Squared, a Warframe community and podcast. Find out how to join the collective by heading over to our website at cephalonsquared.com. Now, here are your Cephalons, Greg and Lucas.
G'day Cephalon Collective and welcome to episode 44 of Cephalon Squared. My name is Cephalon Greg, I'm joined by Cephalon Lucas. How are you, sir?
I am good. Episode 44, damn. The numbers just keep stacking up.
We made it.
Stacking up.
Made it to the big double four.
Double four.
May mean something. It doesn't mean anything. Or maybe it does. I don't know.
It means something now.
I'm not a numbers guy. The double fours.
Double four.
So, speaking of numbers, what numbers are the weather apps showing you for
the weather area? All right. Well, today at 8 o'clock on a Sunday evening in the small city of Ipswich, It is currently 18 degrees Celsius with a humidity of 73%. And not feeling the humidity, but feeling the cold. Starting to cool down quite nicely.
So 18 degrees Celsius is 64 degrees Fahrenheit. Not too bad. Starting to cool down a little bit up there, up north.
Just a little bit.
It was a warmer day for us down here in Melbourne. 15 degrees at present. With 63% humidity, so, you know, it's still pretty comfortable. That is 59 degrees Fahrenheit for all you people that don't use the right temperature measurements.
Fair enough.
Audible sigh. Yeah, so it hasn't been too bad. It's been a lovely day. And I'm finally shaking the flu. Still hanging on a little bit there. I feel it. You know, in the back of my brain, hanging on, clawing away at me, but I think I've knocked it off. Bam! But being sick for a week, I got so much stuff done. It was awesome.
Well, that's good. It's good. Getting stuff done is good.
It is, I agree. Speaking of getting stuff done, what'd you get done in Warframe this week?
Well, that is a really good question. What did I get done? I can't even really remember what we did Saturday. What did we do Saturday?
You needed bloody mutagen mass.
That's right. So we did some invasions.
They were
mind-numbingly dull. We did some relics. Did a couple useful. Relics. Not really. Did some Kuva runs. I know Friday night we did a Eidolon.
Yeah, we did Eidolon on Friday. We did a sortie both Friday and Saturday, and I got a sculpture on both days. Thanks, fucking Warframe. That was great.
I swapped out using the Paracesis on my Baruch, and I'm swinging around the twin Croakers now, or as I like to call them, the Power Ranger Swords. So I got an interesting build on them.
Our mastery rank.
We did.
On stream.
You hit 24 on Friday, and I hit 22 on Saturday.
Yeah, it's just weird that it both happened for us at the same time.
Yeah, good timing.
Yeah, neither of us had practiced our stuff and we were worried that we were going to fail on stream, but we both kicked its ass like bosses. Yeah. Whoop.
It was a little bit touch and go for a little bit there, but no, it was good. We did good. We done did it.
We did. We done did good.
Good things are good.
There will be more excitement, I think, this week, particularly for PC players. So let's kick on into the news because we'll be able to talk about that a little bit when we do. Ready?
Ready.
You seem pretty ready. All right. So one thing I should mention, before we get into the news is on Thursday last week, we recorded mini episode 22, which was on Inaros. And as usual, we used content from the website to inform our commentary. However, it did slip my mind that the Inaros article was actually written by none other than Derpa Chief Andy. So I should have mentioned that on the episode itself. My bad. So calling out Derpa Chief now for his fantastic write-up on the site. So keep in mind, it's not just Lucas and myself that do write for the website. Derpa Chief Andy and Rathok and even your master, who goes by all sorts of different names in the Discord. have written articles for the website as well, so I really should give them credit where the credit is due. Thanks, guys.
Yes, it's good. Current name for my master is obligatory name change.
If that lets you understand how often he changes his name.
Yeah.
Douglas.
All right. Good job, Doug. All right, jumping on into the news. Redford tweeted that there is a plan to add a buyback feature for once-off acquisitions. Our very own Rathok asked if this would also apply to login weapons, but sadly, it does not. I'm looking forward to this just simply because that means I have a chance to get my broken war back without having to farm good old Stalker for the blueprint.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I hope it's in there. Should be.
Fingers crossed.
It wasn't on the image, but, you know, that was just a work in progress anyway.
But the broken scepter was, though.
The broken scepter was, yeah, you're right.
Mm.
Now, this one it's kind of too late, but I'll still say it. The Wolf of Saturn 6 ends today at the time of recording and at the time of publishing, I guess. So I hope you remembered to spend your Wolf creds. The next series of Nightwave won't be starting for probably a couple of weeks, I would imagine. Probably at least until the Jovian Concord is out on all platforms, I think, is what they're doing. So,
yeah.
I think if once it expires, once the Series 1 ends, I think that's when your Wolf creds end, which is silly, because if they're going to let there be time between them, it'd be nice just to leave the shop open at least, but oh well.
Yeah, that's a little bit disappointing, but, you know, they've probably got a method to their madness.
Yeah, we'll see. We shall find out tomorrow. Well,
indeed.
Not so much tomorrow for everyone listening, but we'll know soon enough.
Soon enough.
Next
up, according to Pablo, the extraction screen is being reworked for mainline.
Did you Exciting. See the image or the video?
I actually did not see this, no.
So it's yeah, they've just got some nice flashy images that you can choose instead of choosing extract or stay. Just something that looks a bit better. A bit flashier. Okay.
Well, that's good. I like flashy things. Yeah. Flashy things are good.
That screen's old. It's just got text.
Yeah.
It's really outdated, so it's good that it's been reworked. Although I said recorked in our notes. Alright, next. For Fans by Fans has a t-shirt design competition running again, as they do every year for TennoCon 2019. If you would like to submit your t-shirt entry, or if you'd like to vote on other entries, go to the For Fans by Fans website. There will be a link in the show notes, but entries need to be in by May 30th to be in the running. So good luck to any artists out there that do want to apply.
Indeed, and hopefully there'll be some pretty good ones this year.
No doubt.
Next up, this month's Discord Nitro perk is a 7-day resource booster. Nice and simple news.
Yeah, not much we can say about that apart from get the resource booster.
Get it.
If you can. Another simple bit of news, much like Twitch, Mixer will now be offering drops, loot drops, during certain streams. So if you do want to do that, you need to link your Mixer account. Shit. Link your Mixer and your Warframe accounts in order to benefit. And of course, there will be a link about that in the show notes as well to teach you how to do it.
Yes. Now, I actually jumped on Mixer for the first time over the weekend, and wow. it's different. It's a very, very different setup from Twitch.
It's a really different service. It's actually pretty good. They've got some interesting ideas that they've employed.
Yeah. Yeah. Next up, Barrow Kateer brought new mods on his visit, Primed Pack Leader and Prime Animal Instinct. I think these ones were a bit of a mistake, accidental release, but...
No, they were planned.
They were planned? Yeah. Well, awesome.
Because yeah, people knew they were coming. I didn't, but... Because when we first went there, Primed Pack Leader was there, we were all excited. And people were asking on Twitter where Primed Animal Instinct was, and then D said, oops, it'll be up in 15 minutes. So, obviously, people knew they were coming.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, go get them. They're good mods for your beast companions. Although, as Wooshy said in our Discord, maybe Prime Pack Leader isn't necessary because Ordinary Pack Leader is probably good enough. We'll see. We'll have a look at it. We'll let you know.
Indeed.
Anyway, next bit of news. Steve Sinclair shared a little bit of a melee idea for animated finishes. It was very, very animated. I don't know how it's going to work. It looks great. You know, you get a close-up of yourself doing a finisher. But I don't know how often that's going to happen. I don't know what's going to trigger it, etc. I don't know whether it's going to get annoying is basically what I'm saying. But again, it is just a work in progress. So they're just sort of in planning phase.
Interesting. Interesting. Next up, Wisp changes and Jovian Concord delayed to this week. Details in this week's Remote Observer.
Yeah, so there's lots of news there. You did miss one, and that is that Rebford showed off a new Orbiter cosmetic that's coming with the Jovian Concord, and that is the cleaner bot that we've all seen and laughed about. You'll actually be able to get that somehow and put it on your Orbiter, and it'll just be roaming around like a Roomba.
I don't even know how I actually missed that.
Yeah, so it's interesting. So there's lots of good stuff. Did you want to touch on the Wisp changes while we're here, Lucas?
Yeah, why not? So I think the biggest change is to Wisp's third ability, where before it would channel an AoE through the reservoir token kind of things. Now it works completely differently, where it kind of puts an effect on an enemy, and then once you kill said enemy, the damage kind of travels to nearby enemies as like a homing projectile.
Yeah, it's a CC ability now too, because it's a blinding effect.
Yeah. So
blinded it, stagger.
Definitely a lot more happier with this one. I think the way they had it before, being too reliant on the fact that your totems would be down, was just a bit messy. So now the fact that you don't need to have them down to activate your third ability, that's fantastic. Great direction to move in.
Yeah, I agree, actually. And they've got a video, if you look for it on, say, Twitter, look for Play Warframe account. You can watch the Wisp video that shows off all of her abilities.
Just find it on YouTube.
Or on YouTube or Warframe.com. You'll be able to find it. It's pretty easy. Yeah. It's out there. It'll be in our show notes anyway. The other thing I wanted to mention is, of course, because Jovian Concord is coming this week, DE did release a little bit of a teaser on their website, Warframe.com, that does show off a whole bunch of pictures, including the new Flydalon, which has been named the Ropalolist or Ropalolist or something like that. Who knows? It's a silly name. But holy shit, it looks amazing.
Oh, yeah.
It's now the background on my phone. That's how impressed I was by the design of that. I didn't think it was going to be good, but now that I've seen it, it blew me away.
Man, it does look pretty cool. I'm looking forward to working out the mechanics behind beating the Flydalon.
Indeed. All right, so that gets all of the news behind us. And now that that's done, we decided that it's about time that we talk to you, listeners, and everyone out there about what we're doing with Cephalon Squared, what we're planning for the future, what we need to do. So you probably know that we have a Ko-fi account out there where people have donated to us to get certain things. That's how Lucas got his Blue Yeti microphone, etc., etc. So we are very thankful to everyone who has done that for us. However, a website, a podcast, Twitch streaming, a YouTube account, all of this requires a lot of time, effort, equipment, and resources. And it's gotten to the point now where we really need support to be able to keep all of this going. So that's where we're at the moment. We haven't completely thought out exactly how we want to do this and where we want to do it. The most important thing that you as listeners or followers or fans or friends, whatever the case may be, should be aware of is everything we're doing now will stay the same and it will always be free. We're not going to start charging for anything. That's not why we're doing this. We don't do this because we wanted to make $1 million. But, you know, we do this because we love Warframe. But it's starting to get to a point where, holy shit, this is costing us a lot of money on a monthly basis, a lot of time on a monthly basis. The amount of work I put into Cephalon Squared, speaking for myself at least, is pretty close to a full-time job on top of the full-time day job that I have. So, and I don't mind doing that, but it's a lot of work. So we're now going to be looking at what we can do to sort of supplement ourselves. One of those things that I'm thinking about, just to be upfront and frank, is putting ads on the podcast. I don't want to have a whole bunch of ads. I don't want to have an ad at the start, an ad in the middle, an ad at the end, ads all over the place. Probably one is all I would put in. And I'd have a couple of rules in regards to the kinds of ads that I'd want to put. One would be, it's got to be something that I either have used before and know works, or a brand that I trust. So, for example, if it is a brand new product that I've never heard of, never used, I wouldn't support that, and I wouldn't be telling, recommending it on the show. But if it was a brand like Razer, for example, who make PC products, I'd think, yep, I know their products. Yeah, they're a bit pricey, but they're pretty good. I've got a few Razer products myself, so I'd probably choose them for that first rule. The second thing is, it's got to apply to our listeners. Our listeners are all gamers, and our listeners are people of all sorts of ages, different countries across the world. So I don't want to do anything that only applies to Australians. I don't want to do anything that only applies to Americans. So whatever we do, it's going to be something that hopefully appeals to as many of you as possible. And it will also be read by either myself or Lucas. I don't want to have some marketing person from some other company preaching to you. I'd rather it's us saying whatever we need to say about a certain thing. Let us know your thoughts about that. I know some people think that ads can be annoying. I might put it at the start of the podcast so that you can skip through it if you want to. It is what it is. But let us know your thoughts about what you think about that. We, you know, like I said, we need to sort of start doing something. One of the guys in the Discord asked us recently, what do you guys plan about doing with something like Patreon? Because that particular person said they would be happy to support us on a monthly ongoing basis if it was something we had thought about. And of course it is something we had thought about. It's not something I wanted to do or Lucas wanted to do. We talked about it for a while. We didn't know when the time was right, but I suppose in the end, if you think you're going to do something like that, you just got to bite the bullet and do it. I've already created a Cephalon Squared Patreon. I created it a month ago, maybe now. We've got a few tiers there. None of them are actually functional at the moment because we hadn't officially announced it. So now that I have, I need to make them functional and I need to make them work. But I'd love to get some feedback from people. If you think the ideas we've got in those tiers are ridiculous, let us know. Because it's just our first idea. So we hope you know that we don't expect anyone to support us. But if you do, we're thankful for it. Okay, so everything we do will always be free. Everything we offer, the community we've created, we will continue to create it. The reason we're asking for a bit of support is so that we can make it bigger and better, I guess. Lucas, did you want to add anything?
A thank you to those people that have already supported us so far. You know, it's great actually having proper quality audio. So thank you to those guys.
It really is.
Yeah, but yeah, we don't expect anything to really grand. But you know, if for those that want to help us out, it'd be very appreciated.
Exactly. And the fact that there are people out there that have already supported us to varying capacities blows my mind. And it makes me realize that, you know what, we've actually created something that people do enjoy and rally around and want to support. So we're proud of that. We hope you're proud to be a part of it. And we'd love to make it bigger and better. We'd love to make it work better for everyone. So be involved. We want you to be involved as we do this. So it's a learning experience for us, but it is something we want to do. Now, another thing I wanted to come clean on was ever since we started this podcast, I was talking about a secret project. The secret project still exists, and I'm going to let you know what it was. I didn't tell Lucas I was going to do this, but here we go, Lucas. The secret project was a magazine. I wanted to initially release a monthly magazine for Warframe, just going over news and different articles and, you know, different things about different factions, and it was going to be themed. Each magazine was going to be themed. The problem was, building a magazine takes a hell of a lot of resources. It's extremely expensive and extremely super amazingly time consuming. I don't think we could make a magazine every 2 months, let alone 1 month is the problem. And information starts getting outdated really quickly in Warframe. So I sort of parked that idea for a number of reasons. I don't actually think I can ever do a magazine unless I stopped my full-time job. And I don't think I am going to be doing that anytime soon. So I think that's not an idea that I'm going to pursue. But there are other ideas along that path that Lucas and I are still considering. So there's certain other things that we've got in the back of our head. So that's the secret project. It has been put on hiatus, which if you go to our website now, there's no mention of a secret project anymore. But I thought rather than just making it disappear, and some of those people out there who have asked me over the last few months what the secret project is, or they've told me that they were excited about hearing what it is, well, that's what it is, but it's not going to happen anytime soon. But we do have some really cool ideas for the second half of this year that we do plan to do. Anyway, that is the getting all of our plans off our chest thing. Really, where we are now, everything we've set up is what we want to do moving forward. So Twitch, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Discord, and the podcast is pretty much everything we want to do with Cephalon Squared and the website, of course. That's everything in a nutshell. Unless anyone's got some other ideas out there for us.
Yeah. It could become more.
It could. It could indeed. So, yeah. Let us know. Please tell us what your thoughts are on all of this, because we make it all for you and we want you to be involved. Cool. Moving on.
Cool.
Lucas and I have been talking the last couple of days about what the hell we were going to do with this episode, because we were kind of expecting there to be a dev stream this week.
And just a little bit.
Then bloody friggin' DE came out and said on primetime the other day, there'll be no dev stream this weekend. So it put us into a bit of a spin. Now the good thing, and I know it doesn't sound like a good thing, but the good thing was we hadn't actually planned our beginner and advanced topics either. Usually we have them planned, or sometimes we have them planned a couple of weeks in advance, especially when Lucas is doing a series. But this week it sort of just fell into an empty week. So we decided we're going to do a themed episode again. So in the past we've done, what did we do? We've done the syndicates.
Yeah, we've done Planes of Eidolon. There's another one, but I can't think of it from the top of my head. But yes, we've done themed episodes in the past.
So yes, and Lucas had the idea for this particular theme. So I'll pass over to you, Lucas, to explain where you got this idea from.
Okay, so thank you to Tactical Potato in one of his more recent videos going over the new. New stuff coming in the
Jovian Concord.
Thank you. he mentioned, he went over all the new mods coming out, and he mentioned that just a brief comment saying that there are so many mods in the game now, and a lot of them are just too gimmicky and don't get used because there is a meta to the mods that we use. So that's kind of piqued up this discussion topic that we've got today, and it's simply mods, are there too many? what do we think of the more recent additions, like set mods, amalgams, and peculiars? So, Greg, what are your thoughts on... To start off with, do you think there are too many mods?
That's a tricky question. I think, overall, my answer is no. I don't think there are too many mods. But, as an endgame player, yes, there definitely are. I think there's two or three stages to Warframe. In the very early stages of the game, certain mods like Fast Hands, Shotgun Spaz, you know, some of those mods that in the later stage of the game you don't use very much, they make more sense as a newer player. You know, increase ammo maximum, increase reload speed, things like that make more sense when you're using a shitty weapon like the Mark I Bratton. Later on down the line, you don't need those particular mods, and they become completely useless. But I think they've got a place or a part to play in the very early game. That's my thought in regards to mods as a whole. What about your thoughts on that one?
I'm very much in the same boat on there's not enough mods, because I'm a player who likes to have as much freedom as possible. And, you know, just having a large spectrum of different mechanics that you can pick from to uniquely create and craft different play styles. I love that. The problem I see is that a lot of these play style, the creative capabilities get quashed out by the metagame. So unfortunately, it's there's not enough mods, but because of the meta, everything else gets ignored.
Yeah, it's the popularity of min-maxing is what really causes it to be a problem, because everyone thinks you have to do the absolute most amount of damage. And I don't think that's really the case. It's great to be able to one-shot Vahek, but you don't have to. You know, there are other ways of building things.
Yeah.
So it's a tough one, though, because it is also fun to build to the meta. Because you can see exactly how bloody uber powerful you can create. Yeah. It is just one of those things where the meta tends to override. And the thing I don't like about it is when someone says to you, oh no, your build is wrong. Fair enough, if your build's not doing the damage it should be doing, then, okay, maybe you could do some tweaks to your build or make some changes, or, hey, you probably didn't realize that that particular Warframe wouldn't benefit from that particular mod. But, you know, I don't think anyone's ever wrong in what they choose to do. So it's just one of those things where I think the community sort of also takes part in guiding that discussion around there being too many mods or being too many ridiculous mods.
Yeah.
But that sort of leads us into the newer mods.
Yeah, the newer mods. So what are your thoughts on the recent additions?
To be honest, I haven't fiddled with the amalgams at all.
No, neither. I haven't touched them.
I'd like to, but I haven't found the time to. And I don't want to, sadly, I don't want to waste my endo on them.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense.
That's what it comes down to, which is a bit sad, because I think the amalgam mods was DE's way of saying, hey, let's try and change the meta a little bit and give some people things that are still going to make their weapons pretty powerful, but are also going to give them an additional benefit as well. They'll be slightly less powerful, but they'll also have this other little augment that's pretty cool as well. And I like that idea. I'd love to support that idea. But, yeah, I also don't want to waste my endo.
Yeah. I have seen a few YouTubers and content creators actually use some of the Amalgam mods in their weapon builds. So, you know, there are at least some people out there that do want to use them. I believe even some people in our Discord have actually shown builds revolving around the Amalgam mods, which is great. That's fantastic. There are actually people putting these to use. Me, personally, I don't feel like the Amalgams actually offer enough for me to want to change. So, you know, that's just my opinion. That's where I sit with them. They are a fantastic idea, but, yeah, no, they're just, for me, they don't offer enough.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, yeah. And even looking at set mods, you know, you'll find that there are definitely staples to everyday builds now from set mods. But those staple mods are usually ones that revolve around increase of power strength, ability range, duration, all those kind of things that are already a staple stat to build towards.
So you'll use Hunter Adrenaline, but you probably won't use any of the other Hunter mods. You know, Hunter Recovery and Hunter Adrenaline might be the only two you use, but if you are using them both, you do get a slight bonus from it. So, you know, I think the set mods were a great idea. I think they were just a little bit too ambitious to expect that people would use all of them.
Yeah.
I definitely
tried when they first got released. The Gladiator mod set was very intriguing with the fact that it could essentially give the same thing a Blood Rush could. So I thought that was fantastic. It was a great idea. But even now, I think I may only use 2 of the 5 mods.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah.
The Sacrificial and Umbral mods, though, even though they're technically set mods, I think they're sort of separate from the other set mods, mainly because they've got their own polarity, but also because at their highest rank, they match the existing mods. So, you know, Umbral Fiber, for example, at its highest rank is the same as Steel Fiber. But if you put it on with another Umbral mod, it increases that by a certain percentage.
Well, a substantial amount.
Yeah, a substantial amount when you've got all of them on, definitely. So that's a great idea. And it sort of forces you to make those Umbral builds. So, yeah, I think they've got their own special place. I like those. I like the idea of the set mods, and certainly some of those set mods have individually found their ways into my builds. But as a set, they haven't. What about peculiar mods?
Peculiar ones, I have one, and I've never touched it.
Me neither. It's funny. It's an interesting idea. I still plan to do it so I can see what it looks like. But
I like the idea that they've decided, hey, let's just throw in a couple of absolute silly mods that people can just have a laugh with. That's great. Fantastic.
But it's at the cost of another mod.
But it's at the cost of another mod.
And that's why I think they haven't released any others, because nobody's using them.
Yeah.
In my opinion, this is my opinion, they need to create a peculiar slot.
Yes.
Then I'll use them, and then they would be fun. You know, for example, they've just added additional energy colors if you former an item. What about add a peculiar slot if you former an item?
Yeah.
Or even have a peculiar fucking, like an Exilus adapter. Have a peculiar adapter. It just make it another cosmetic. That's my thought.
Yeah, no, I could get behind that. I could definitely.
Otherwise, I'm never going to use the peculiar mods. Sorry, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I love the idea, personally. I'm just not going to use them.
Yeah. So we've talked about set mods, we've talked about amalgams and peculiars. What about Rivens? What are your take what's your take on Rivens? Because they've become a very quick staple to the game.
I absolutely love Rivens. Whoever came up with that idea deserves a freaking pay rise and a pat on the back and a hug. Rivens are a great idea because Warframe is not like, let's take Destiny for example, where once something is overpowered, it makes the game less fun to play. In Warframe, when something's overpowered, it makes the game more fun to play. And having these random mods that you can roll that can make you very unique with your particular weapon, any weapon you like, I think that's a fantastic idea. I absolutely love it. I don't have a lot of great Rivens, but I just think it's a really, 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 really solid idea.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually had Sam, one of my good friends, I was talking to the other day. He asked me what it was about Warframe that that really made me enjoy it. And I turned around and said to him, it was the number crunching. And, you know, he's very much the same mindset. He loves number crunching games. And one of the examples I gave him was my Riven build on my Paracesus. It is monstrous. You know, three hits in, you're sitting at 0.5 times combo multiplier, and you're already hitting red crits. Do a slide attack slash, and you know, I've worked out that the crit chance jumps up to like 560%. It's absolutely crazy. So Rivens for me, fantastic addition, because they give you that chance to do all that really intense number crunching to really draw out a weapon's potential. Yeah.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah. All so right. We've got anything else to say on this?
Not really. I think the mods that are in the game are fantastic, but we're starting to get to a point where the ideas are getting stretched, and I think they need to take a different approach towards certain things, particularly peculiars and maybe set mods as well. There's a whole bunch of new set mods that are coming and they look interesting, but I just don't know if they're going to find their way into the meta. I don't think they will.
I think maybe two or three will, not a whole lot of them. There's three sets of set mods coming out. I think the first one, the first set revolves around, aim gliding, the second set revolves around wall latching, and the third set revolves around, and don't quote me on this, I think wall jumping, or it even could be bullet jump, actually.
Yeah, I think it's jumps and bullet jumps.
Yeah, just, yeah. Anyway, some of those mods look absolutely fantastic, and, you know, a lot of them are gimmicky. Definitely a lot of them are very gimmicky. I think it was the aim gliding ones and the jumps in general I was looking at and thinking, ooh, how can I make Zephyr's passive slow air jumps even more annoying?
Well, even more helpful for you.
Well, more helpful for me. I mean, more air time with Aviator thrown on. So, yeah. So there are some things I'm going to want to play around with and toy around with a bit, but I don't expect many, if any, of these set mods to actually become staples.
Yeah, which is a bit sad. But we shall see. We shall see.
We shall see.
All right. Anything else on that yourself?
Nope.
Alrighty.
Oh, I think that's all there really is to say about it.
Yeah. So continuing on, because this is obviously the mod special. The beginner's topic is a beginner's guide to mods. So we just talked about a whole bunch of different mod types that beginners probably don't know, and maybe were wondering what the hell some of the words we were talking about were. So I'm going to do two things. I'm going to explain what all the different mod types are, and I'm going to explain what the absolute essentials are for the early game. So those are the two things I'm going to do for beginners in this particular episode. So Mod types. Starting off with Flawed. The Flawed mod types you can only get during the training mission, which is Vor's Prize, at the very start of the game. And they are some pretty common or very useful mods, but they're the flawed version. So they're not as good as the actual full unflawed version of the mod. So I think there's an intensifier, there's a flow, continuity, things like that, that are really good mods to have, but they're hard to find until a little bit later in the game. So the game gives you flawed versions of those mods up front so that you can at least have something on your Warframe to make you feel a little bit more powerful. Once you've got the proper version of those mods, though, you should get rid of those flawed mods. You don't need to keep them. You don't need to rank them up. But it might take you a long time to find, say, Intensify. So keeping that flawed Intensify mod for as long as you can. Mistake I made when I was an early game player, once I started to get a whole bunch of normal mods, I was like, oh, I'll just sell all my flawed mods. So I sold them all, and I didn't get continuity, for example, for a long time. So I didn't have any any duration mod. And that was a real pain in the ass. So yeah, that's what the flawed mods are. Don't get rid of them until you've got the full version. Next, there are three different types of standard mods. There's common, which is bronze or brown. There's uncommon, which is silver. And there's rare, which is gold. That also refers to the rarity of the actual mod. So if they're common, they drop more often. If they're rare, they drop less often. Sometimes painfully less often. Talking to you, Condition Overload. Although we did just get two recently. Yay. So yeah, they're the standard mods, common, uncommon, and rare. Then you have Exilus mods and Aura mods. So these two are Warframe specific mods that sit up the top. So whenever you are designing your mod layout for a weapon or a Warframe, there's always 8 mods. However, Warframes have an additional 2. In the Aura slot, which is the top left of the top 2, that's where you put an Aura mod. So there's only something like 20 or so specific Aura mods in the game that give you a special boon, a special benefit. It's not like an ability strength or anything like that, although there are a couple that sort of augment ability strength. But there's things like rejuvenation, which increases your health regeneration. There's corrosive projection that everyone knows about, which reduces enemies' armor. Things like that. These are specific mods that can only be put into the Aura slot. Next to the Aura slot on the right, you have the Exilus slot. And the Exilus slot only takes Exilus mods. And you can tell which one the Exilus mods are by the little symbol at the top of the mod. Hard to see when you're still a new player, but eventually you will see it. When you're going through your mods, you can actually cycle through. So you can see all Aura, Exilus, blah, 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 blah. So yeah, top 2, Aura mod, Exilus mod. The Exilus mod usually gives you some sort of movement ability, usually, often, or some sort of additional function. For example, Thief's Wit is a common Exilus mod that people like to use, and that gives you loot radar. There's another Exilus mod that you'll get later in the game, which I just reminded myself of, which is the Drift mods, and that's Power Drift, which gives you some ability as well as, God, is it Speed? I can't remember what Power Drift gives you now off the top of my head, but it gives you 2 things. Not massive benefits for both, but together it's a bit of a boost. So they're your Exilus and Aura slots. The only other item that has an additional slot at the top of it are melee weapons, and they have stances. And what stance mods do is they give you combos. They give you different abilities that you can do with specific weapons. Stance mods only apply to specific mod types. So if you have a dagger, then you need to get dagger stance mods. Okay? And that just sort of makes sense across everything. Now, I haven't talked about Polarity, and I'm not going to talk about Polarity right now. I'm just talking about the mods themselves. But Polarity is something you need to take in mind with Exilus and Aura and Stance mods as well. The special thing about Aura and Stance mods is if you match the Polarity, you actually increase your mod capacity. So it's really important to match the Polarities and increase your mod capacity because you can fit a whole bunch more stuff on there. So, we've covered Exilus, Aura, and Stance mods. Next on the special type of mods collection, we have Nightmare mods and Corrupted mods. Now, I've grouped these two together because they come from very specific mission types. So, Nightmares come from Nightmare missions. Nightmare missions, there's one on each planet that unlocks after you've done every single node on that planet. And they have some sort of an augment, so no shields mode or enemy detonation mode. When you kill them, the enemies explode and cause damage to you. And if you can get through that mission, you get a special mod that you can only get from Nightmare modes. There's a whole bunch of specific mods that you can only get from Nightmare modes. You'll learn them as you come along. One of them, I think, is Scorch. Is it Scorch or is it Blaze?
No.
Blaze.
Blaze, yeah.
Blaze, which gives you additional heat damage and additional damage. That's a pretty damn good mod. So I recommend you do Nightmare missions every once in a while. And the good thing about Nightwave, you'll be forced to do them every once in a while anyway. So get your Nightmare.
Nightmare.
Did I say Nightmare instead of Nightwave?
You said Nightwave. No, you said... Oh, no, you did say Nightwave.
It's confusing. So many nights. Yeah. Do those Nightmare missions. On the other hand, there's Corrupted mods. Now, Corrupted mods are super important because they give you extra special mods. They sound dumb at first glance because they give you one super positive and one super negative, but you can use that to your advantage. So, for example, let's use... Shit. Give me an example. Transient Fortitude, for example. So, Transient Fortitude gives you shitload of additional ability strength, but reduced duration. Now, why would you want to use a mod like that? Think of Trinity, for example. She has an ability that makes enemies give you energy, but it takes time. It's slow. If you want to give your whole team energy really, really quick, you use Transient Fortitude and bam, 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 suddenly your whole team's got energy, you move on. So these Corrupted mods are fantastic to do really specific specific things in the game, but you can only get them from the Derelict, and you can only get them from vaults on the Derelict. We've done an episode on this. Look for it. Not going to talk about it today. Corrupted mods are your friend. Next, we have augments. There's both weapon augments and there's Warframe augments. Most augments can be gotten from Syndicates. So whichever Syndicate you choose, you can use your Syndicate rep to buy augments. Definitely need to look these up. We've talked about them during the mini episodes as well. Some of the weapon augments you can get as drops from different things throughout the game as well. So keep an eye out for them. They're really cool, but they're really specific again. Primed mods. If you don't know what they are, well, you maybe haven't played the game much. Primed mods are extra special versions of other mods that are in the game. So we talked about continuity earlier before. Continuity gives you additional ability duration. Primed continuity gives you even more ability duration. So primed mods are just super special, extra special, cool versions of mods. Riven mods, we also talked about before. These are random mods for specific weapons, so they get completely random rolls, and you can get something that is absolutely amazing and makes your weapon really shine. It is something that can make really crappy weapons into a really good weapon, but some really crappy weapons out there, not even a Riven mod can save them. I'm just waiting for people to tell me I'm wrong. It's okay, I'd like to be wrong. Show me a crappy Riven mod that turns something shitty into something awesome. Happy to see it. Set mods came out fairly recently. I think the first set mods came out with the Plains of Eidolon. And basically, there are a bunch of mods that you can use across different weapon types and companions and warframes. And if you've got them all on different things, then the more of them you've got equipped, the more benefits you get out of it. So they give you basically... The mod itself gives you a boost, but having multiple mods gives you an additional boost. So those set mods, great idea, but as we said, not necessarily great in practice. Sacrificial and Umbral mods came with the Sacrifice. Not going to go into too much detail about what they are because that gets into spoiler territory, but they are essentially just better versions of existing mods. They're a little bit of a set mod. When you use them all together, you get a boost as well. So they're really cool. Peculiar mods are just cosmetic mods. When you shoot enemies with a headshot, for example, flowers will spring out of them. That's the one I've got, peculiar mod. I've never used it because I'd rather use other mods on my Warframe. Give us a cosmetic slot. Yeah.
I think it's actually crit hits cause the flowers to bloom.
Okay. Yeah, see, whatever. I haven't even looked at it. But they're peculiar mods. There's only a couple of them in the game, two or three. And, yeah, people don't use them much. Give us a peculiar slot and give us more mods. That's what I say. Amalgam mods are probably the most recent mods that came with the game. And they are different versions of existing mods that, again, are dual stat. So they've got additional stats that are a little bit different. So, for example, I can't remember. But let's just say, for example, that one is an amalgam version of Vitality. There isn't one. I know there's no amalgam Vitality, but I can't think of one off the top of my head. It's slightly less health than the actual Vitality mod, but it gives you something else as well, like additional Warframe speed or something like that. That's what the Amalgam mods are. They're very different. Different idea. Sounds pretty cool. Still haven't used them. Apart from that, there's also Conclave mods that you can only use in the Conclave. Enough said. All right. That took me much longer to explain than I expected. So, I did promise to talk about the Absolute Essentials, so I will, but, it has been longer. And I apologize to Lucas.
Just gonna jump in and intervene very quickly.
Yep.
An example, Amalgam Orgum Shatter. Plus 85% critical damage, plus 60% charge attack speed.
Very good, thank you. An example was definitely necessary. So there you go, you can see that it's still the same old organ shatter. Not as strong as the normal organ shatter, but still gives you additional crit damage or crit chance?
Crit damage.
But it also gives you charge speed. So you can use that melee weapon faster, which is pretty good. All right. So Lucas will be looking at a specific type of mod that I didn't really mention in there. So we'll leave that for now. And we'll go on to the absolute essentials that beginners should be looking for or have. So on your Warframe, you really should have Vitality, Redirection, and Steel Fiber. You should be max ranking them as soon as you can, but you don't want to have all three on your Warframe unless you've got nothing else. We did an episode on health versus shields and armor a few weeks ago. Look that up. That will help you out. You also should have Continuity, Streamline, Flow, Stretch, and Intensify. They're the main mods you should have on your Warframe in the early part of the game. If you don't have them, you should be out there looking for them. On top of that, keep an eye out for aura mods in the Nightwave and get those corrupted mods from the vaults as soon as you're able to do it. They're bloody awesome. Primary weapons. Serration, Point Strike, Rifle Aptitude, Continuous Misery. These are mods that you should get fairly easily early in the game and you should be using them. You'll get others, but they're less important. For shotgun specifically, Point Blank, Blunderbuss, Shotgun Savvy, and Lingering Torment. At the early start of the game, Shotgun Spaz and Tactical Pump are also really important, but they become less important later into the game. For primaries, you should be looking for Split Chamber. Definitely look for Split Chamber, that's really important. Vigilante Armaments, Vital Sense, the Elemental and Damage mods. So, you know, Toxin Damage, Puncture Damage, all of those kind of things. And your dual stat mods, which we'll talk about soon. For shotguns, you should also be looking for Hell's Chamber and Ravage. Secondary weapons, Hornet Strike, Pistol Gambit, Target Cracker, Sure Shot, Perpetual Agony are your staples that you should get fairly easily. But you should also be looking out for Barrel Diffusion, Augur Pact, your Elemental and Damage mods, and your dual stat mods. And for melee, you should be looking for Pressure Point, Reach, Fury, Lasting Sting, Organ Shatter, Melee Prowess, and True Steel. These ones you should have fairly easily. You should be using those on most of your weapons. Keep an eye out for Stance mods, very important. Berserker, super kick-ass mod. Gladiator Might, your elemental and damage mods, and your dual stat mods. So keep in mind that I mentioned both crit mods and status mods as, you know, being mods that you should get easily, that you should be using, but you don't want to use both on your weapons. We'll do, maybe next week I'll do a basics of modding episode. Ta-da! Took ages, ta-da. But I did it.
Ah, it's all good. Take your time.
I hope that helped. And of course, I did talk very fast. So if it is helpful for you, go back and listen to all that again. Take notes. Cha-ching. Over to you, Lucas.
Awesome. All right. So Greg mentioned dual status mods. And that's what I'm looking at tonight. So dual status mods are some of the most important mods in game, especially when trying to reach that sweet, sweet 100% status chance. Each dual status mod offers a plus 60% elemental damage and a plus 60% status chance when all four of the specified weapon type dual stat mods are equipped to a weapon with status chance of 22% or higher, you can expect to reach 100% with ease. The biggest issue about these staple mods is in their acquisition, and here is a list of every dual stat mod and where they can be found. Note: every dual stat mod found in spy missions only drop if all three terminal hacks have gone successful. So top of the list, we're looking at melee mods. And for the heat, we have Volcanic Edge. Volcanic Edge can be brought from a Barracketeer for 150,000 credits and 300 ducats. It can also be found in Tier 1 spy missions with a 9.09% drop rate. Tier 1 spy planets are Earth, Venus, Mercury, Mars, and Phobos. Keep those planets in mind for the next one, which is Vicious Frost for the Cold. Can also be found in Tier 1 spy missions with, again, a 9.09% drop rate. So for those that missed the first time, those Tier 1 spy planets are Earth, Venus, Mercury, Mars, and Phobos. Next up, we're looking at the Electric Melee mod, Voltaic Strike. This can only be bought from Barracketeer for 150,000 credits and 300 ducats. Next we have the Toxic Virulent Scourge. I hope I'm saying that right. Probably not. Shoot me if I am. This is a mod dropped by Corrupted Vor in the Void with a 25% drop rate. Going over to secondaries, and starting at the top again with Heat, we have Scorch. This can be found in Tier 3 spy missions, or the Kuva Fortress spy, with a 6.45% drop rate. Tier 3 spy planets are Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, Sedna, and the Kuva Fortress. In addition, Barracketeer may also sell this mod for, again, 150,000 credits and 300 ducats. Next, we have the Frostbite for the Cold. This can be found again in Tier 3 spy missions or the Kuva Fortress. This time, it has a 11.28% drop rate from the Kuva Fortress and a 7.25% drop rate everywhere else. Those Tier 3 planets are again Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, Sedna, and the Kuva Fortress. Moving on to Electric, we have Jolt. This can only be bought from Barracketeer for, you guessed it, 150,000 credits and 300 ducats. And then the Toxic Pistol Pestilence, which is dropped again by Corrupted Vor in the Void with a 25% drop rate. Breathe. Going into rifle mods, starting at the top again with Heat, Thermite Rounds. This can only be found in Tier 3 spy missions or the Kuva Fortress with a 6.5% drop rate. Barracketeer also sells this mod for 150,000 credits and 300 ducats. I guess I'll give you those planets one last time. Those planets are Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, Sedna, and the Kuva Fortress. Looking at the cold rifle mod, Rhyme Rounds, we have a 5.64% drop rate in Tier 2 spy missions, and a 7.37% from the spy on Lua. Tier 2 spy planets are Ceres, Jupiter, Europa, Saturn, and Lua. Going on to Electricity, High Voltage can be bought from Barracketeer for 150,000 credits and 300 ducats. along with having a 4.51% drop rate from successfully finding all three caches in Hive Sabotage on Eris. Next we have Toxic Malignant Force. This is obtained as a drop from Corrupted Vor in the Void with a 25% drop rate. There's a lot of repeating myself here. I'm sorry for that, guys. And finally, we look at the Shotgun mods, starting with Heat, Scattering Inferno. This can be bought from Barricateer for 150,000 credits and 300 ducats. Who would have thought? In addition, it has a 5.64% drop rate in Tier 2 spy missions again, and it's also a 7.37 from spy in Lua. Tier 2 spy planets are, yet again, Ceres, Jupiter, Europa, Saturn, and Lua. Cold shotgun mod, we have Frigid Blast. This can be found in Tier 3 spy missions or the Kuva Fortress with a 6.45% drop rate. I guess I'll go over the planets again for Tier 3 spies. They are Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, Sedna, and the Kuva Fortress. Electric shotgun mod, we have Shell Shock. It can be bought from Barricateer for, wait for it, 150,000 credits and 300 ducats, along with having a 4.51% drop rate from successfully finding all three caches again in the Hive Sabotage on Eris. And last but not least, we have the Toxic Barrage as the Toxic Shotgun mod, which is dropped by Corrupted Vor in the Void with a 25% drop rate.
Yay! You got there, Lucas.
I got there. you guys better appreciate what I do for you.
We have had a whole bunch of people asking recently in the Discord about different places to get dual stats. So you don't get more detailed than that. Thank you, Lucas. That was,
and the article is written up, so it will be going up sometime, hopefully this week.
Within this week, yeah, on the website, so we can now refer people to it. Yay!
Yay!
In great detail.
Great, great detail.
Alrighty, so that pretty much brings us to the end of this mod special. We didn't cover everything with mods because there's a shitload of things to do with mods. You can't do it all in one episode, but we hope that was helpful, at least to mainly beginner and mid-game players. If any of you end-game players out there want to add something, feel free to do so in comments or Discord or Facebook or whatever you wish to do. Happy for you to join in the conversation. Okay, community call-outs. So,
community call-out!
Community call-out! So, we mentioned earlier that, you know, we're looking to branch out in terms of how you can support us, and we do have our existing Ko-fi campaign. Surprisingly, during the week, we got a bunch of support from different people. You know who you are, and we cannot thank you enough. And we now have what we need to improve Lucas's internet. So we'll work to do this as soon as possible. So expect an update soon regarding the live stream. Exactly when it's going to happen, we don't know. We don't want to go and buy the wrong thing, because that would be a waste of everyone's support. So we do need to sort of examine what the problem is and make sure we buy not just the right product to solve his problem now, but the right product that's also going to solve his problem when he gets a new computer eventually, because his current computer is
questionable.
Questionable. But thankfully still working. So you know, we aren't going to rush on the decision, I guess is what I'm going to say, but it will be hopefully happening soon. So thank you. Reviews update. Indeed. Again, thank you for all your reviews. We got an additional 2 reviews this past week, so we're now at 58 total reviews. Yay! Thank you to everyone. The additional ones actually came all on Castbox, so there were 2 new ones. I'll read one out now, and I'm probably going to mispronounce your name because it is a Scandinavian name. Jorgen Falgren. So I hope I've pronounced your name right. And what Jorgen has to say is, greetings, fellow Cephalons and Tenno. This pod is the number one Warframe news and lore pod, with a couple of fun Aussies. I've enjoyed listening to every episode and binge listened to the first 20 or so. Great fun and cool to get the Australian weather because I live on the opposite side of the globe. And the far and cold north, also known as Scandinavia. Keep up the good work, guys.
Thanks, Jorgen.
Yeah, so that is interesting. I suppose, yeah, you live in the cold part of the world and we live in the sunny, beachy part of the world. So,
yeah.
I can understand how that would be interesting to you. So thank you for listening and thank you for the kind words.
Binge-watching the first 20 episodes. Well, yeah. Binge-listening the first 20. I really do apologize for the audio.
I apologize for Lucas.
I'm apologizing more for you.
I know, I'm teasing. It still blows my mind that people are binge-listening to our episodes, so we must be doing something right. You're not the first person that said that to us, and it really makes me beam with pride every time someone does say that to us, so thank you so much.
Yay, thank you.
All right, now, after saying last week that I didn't think we'd have a Cephalon Question Time and a Dr. Cephalon in one episode, I was proven wrong the very week after. We got two really good questions, so I couldn't leave them out. So, do you want to read Anthem AK's question?
All right, but first off, Cephalon Question Time.
Cephalon Question Time.
All right, question from Anthem AK. After reading about some recent nerfs in the other looter game that starts with a D,
Estiny,
I ask, is power creep in Warframe a problem or a feature?
That's a really interesting question. And I touched on it earlier when I said that in Destiny it causes problems when you've got power creep because it becomes meta and it becomes frustrating. The two weapons, or the weapons in particular that they're talking about nerfing in Destiny, the handguns, I believe they are, the hand cannons, are not only extremely powerful, but they're also extremely hard to get, and only the best of the best can really get their hands on those weapons. So if you think about it, only the best of the best can get them, and they're the best weapon in the game. That's really unfair. So it makes sense to nerf those weapons. I can also understand, though, that there's a lot of pissed off people out there, especially those people that went to put in all the effort to get those weapons. So I feel sorry for them. I'm still across Destiny, even though I haven't played it in like 6 months or a year. God, I'm a loser. Anyway, it's mainly because my wife plays it. She's got those weapons and she put in the time to get them. So she's a little bit pissed off. I think it's a feature. Long story short. I really think the power creep, I mean, it makes you sad to think Soma Prime, for example, used to be a beast, and now it's, okay. But is that a problem? Not really. What do you think, Lucas?
I'm kind of on the path that power creep in Warframe is a bit of a problem and a bit of a feature.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, because you know, on one hand you've got the glory and satisfaction of just absolutely decimating all of the Grineer and Corpus forces that lay in your wake. It's fantastic. You know, you just want to go on a killing spree and cut down some Corpus or some Grineer. Yeah, power creep's fantastic. And especially since, you know, if you're doing endless missions and you want to try and test your limits and reach those higher waves or those higher time periods, you know, looking at survivals, then you're going to need some form of power creep to be able to really keep up with those endurance runs.
Yeah, new weapons have to be better in order to join the meta.
Yeah, in order to be relevant. Yeah, they've got to be better to be relevant.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it also kind of cuts out a lot of pre-existing weapons. When a new weapon comes in, it kind of makes you look at the old weapons and go, okay, that's another one we can put to the mastery fodder pile. Because this weapon is better in every shape and form. Mm. So it's a little bit of a problem because it does make weapons redundant. And I think that's, I don't think that's one of the directions that, that DE really want to go with their weapons. Redundancy, I don't think, is a planned feature.
No.
But, you know, they have spoken about trying to mitigate, address the power creep later on this year.
How they do it is
beyond me, but hopefully it won't be game-breaking.
Yeah.
I
think one of the biggest areas that it's a problem is the early game's quite boring now.
Yes.
So the bolt ore that you used to get in the early game used to be exciting to get because it used to be pretty powerful. But it's dull compared to the other weapons now.
Yeah.
And it takes a long time of grinding before you start getting those really cool, powerful weapons because a lot of them are locked at MR10 or whatever.
Yeah, since they did the mastery rank shift, a lot of those really nice weapons have shifted to a much higher mastery rank requirement.
Yeah, so I think that's a bit of a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the answer, Anthem AK, it's both.
It's both. it really depends on how you look at it. Yeah. Gameplay wise, it's fantastic. Weapon lineup wise, it's a bit of a problem.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
All right. Now we move on to
Dr. Cephalon.
Dr. Cephalon.
Dr. Cephalon, yeah.
Dear Dr. Cephalon, I'm fairly new to the game and still feel that I'm fairly inexperienced. I have a good amount of Warframes that I could get or have cooked up, but I'm not sure which ones I should be going for. Obviously, a lot of it has to do with personal taste, but I wanted to know if you have any Warframes you consider essential or must-haves. If you don't, then what are some frames you recommend to a newbie like me? Yours truly, a humble slice of mad bacon. So, Dr. Lucas.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have Warframes that you consider essential or must-haves? This is a really... It comes down to personal opinion, this question, but I would say we both have what we think are essential or must-haves.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Okay, so now this is going to be a little bit controversial because I actually never went for this particular frame until the late game. So, bad Rhino? Me. Rhino.
Yeah, I thought so.
Rhino is definitely one I would say is a must-have. It's tanky. It'll keep you alive. Very little to worry about with it, so that's all fantastic and good. And it can be picked up from the second planet in the solar system, so it's you can pick it up pretty much instantly. Another one I would say is a staple. Now, I got two more that are staples in my books. One of them has actually been moved to Ceres recently, and that may draw up a little bit of a problem. But Frost is another one that I would say is definitely worth picking up as early as possible. I actually picked up Frost when he was still acquirable on Mars, and he got me through the entire star chart. He was my Rhino, essentially. And the third one, I would say if you're in a clan, go to the Tenno Lab and pick yourself up a Zephyr.
I was waiting for it.
great crowd control, great damage, and can be very tanky as well if you've built up the turbulence ability. And if you really want to just fly around the plains of Eidolon or the Orb Valis, then excellent addition right there. So they're my three that I would say are essential starting frames.
Yeah, and to be honest, I would agree with the first two. Rhino and Frost were on my list as well for recommendations, and Lucas makes those recommendations. Sorry, Dr. Lucas makes those recommendations for good reason. Rhino is a tank. Frost is a fantastic support/defense frame.
Yeah, it's physical tank and frosty tank.
Yeah, and as much as I hate him, Limbo also fits into that as well. So if you don't like frost and you want to get Limbo, go for that, because he's also a fairly good defense frame once you figure out how to use him. Apart from that, I think what you really probably need is either a DPS frame or just an unkillable frame. And, I happen to have one right here, Valkyr. She's absolutely perfect at being unkillable and killing everything. And she's my bae, and you should get her. Apart from that, of course, there's Saren, but she's later in the game. There's Mesa, but she's much later in the game. Necros is something I would probably say is an absolute must get eventually, but he's also much later in the game. So for early in the game, really, Rhino, Frost, Limbo, Zephyr, and Valkyr. Plus, of course...
What about Gaara?
The other start... Oh, Gaara's probably a good choice as well.
Yeah, because, I mean, you get Gaara from the Plains of Eidolon, so...
Yeah.
That's yeah, she's got a lot of defensive capabilities and very nice damage stacking capabilities, so, yeah, she'd definitely be a good one pick up early.
Gaara's amazing. Hildren and Baruk, we'd love to recommend them, but you need too much grinding in the Orb Velis to be able to get them, so they're not really good options in the early game. But, yeah, there's also Volt and Excalibur, some great... like damage DPS frames.
Yes.
And support. Volt is good for support as well. So there's a lot of good options out there for you, but yeah, you really want to have those functional frames. You want a tank, you want a support / defense guy or gal, and you want someone that does a fair amount of DPS or just doesn't die.
Yeah, and crowd control can be nice sometimes too.
And crowd control is good as well. You need that as well. So hopefully that has helped you, Mad Bacon. Mad, crazy, raging bacon. All right, and that brings us to the fucking hard English words. That brings us to the end of episode 44. Go check out the episode notes if there's anything that we have mentioned, especially in the news, that you wanted to check out. And of course, if you want to go check that out, where do you go? You go to Cephalon Squared. That is the website that has links to everything we are currently doing, which is everything. So there's Discord, there's YouTube, there's Facebook, there's Instagram, there's everything. What are we doing with Cephalon Squared? You know, Lucas and I have been talking about, you know, if we want to take this to the next step, we need to have a vision. Our vision is creating the best Warframe community that there is across, you know, whenever you see Cephalon Squared, you know it's going to be the place for you because it's shared by like-minded individuals who love Warframe and want to be somewhat positive. That's another thing I'd like Cephalon Squared to be, positive.
Yeah.
Yeah. So reach out to us, say g'day. We're good people, we think, at least. My mum says I'm cool. Give us a rating. Keep rating us. Keep letting other people know that you think we are worth listening to. It does help. And it also provides us with a bit of feedback as well, which is also useful. My name is Greg Newbegin. I am Mad Capsules pretty much all over the place. Who are you, Lucas?
I am Lucas Silvestri, and I am Silverlight all over the place. SilverLght. Thank you so much to our lovely community. We really couldn't do this, the work we've do, without you guys. So thank you so much for your ongoing support. And, you know, hopefully we can keep that support going long and long into the future. So thank you so much to everyone. Really love you guys.
Yeah. Yes, we do. And like I said earlier, be a part of it. Help us make something that's worth being a part of.
Help us help you.
Help us help you. Help us help everyone. So thank you to Jan at Disco_Box on Twitter for the intro and outro. And I know the intro and outro are still a little bit fuzzy. I haven't figured out how to get that wobble in Jan's sound out just yet. I'm working on it. So I apologize that I missed it for this weekend. I wanted it to be fixed, but it isn't. Sorry about that. Yeah, and we'll see you in a couple of days for, I think it's Ivara this week.
Ivara, yay. Yeah,
so that will be a bit of fun. And next week we've got episode 45 in the Lorecast. So time marches on for whom the bell tolls.
Yes.
All right. Catch you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Cephalon Squared. If you'd like to contact us, reach out via our website at cephalonsquared.com, where you can find us via email, Facebook, Twitter, or Discord. But don't fret, there'll be more Cephalon Squared in a few short days. So don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode.